everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I'm your host, Kate Romero, and I want to thank Don Newsom at BBS Radio for giving us a platform called Spiritual Hollywood, where we can use Hollywood to make a difference in the world. And I have a very special guest this evening, Pamela Ozley, who is the author of the fabulous book, Love Colors, A New Approach to Love Relationships and Auras. And she's also the author of Life Colors. Pamela has been on many, many talk shows and many, many radio shows and lots of special appearances. And she will be locally at the Bodhi Tree, I believe, on the 19th of May at 3 p.m., if I'm not mistaken. So anybody who's in Los Angeles listening to this and who would like to go and meet Pamela, she will be there for you. And we'll talk more about other places that she will be appearing. But she stays very, very busy and a very dynamic lady who has more wisdom than this lifetime could have possibly given her. So I'm sure she's a very, very old soul. And without further ado, I will bring Pamela on to say hello to you. Hi, Pamela.
Hello, Kate. That was quite an introduction. Thank you.
Quite welcome. And it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm glad you could make time for that in your busy schedule.
Good. Well, I think this is going to be fun.
Absolutely. They always are. You just did something recently for BBS Radio, did you not?
I did.
Who was that for? Which host?
Oh, my gosh. Don't tell me I know. Allison.
Ah.
Allison, I don't remember her last name, but it's Allison.
And I was telling Don about our guest this evening. He goes, I know Pamela. She's a beautiful lady. I'm far out. I love it.
I was just on Allison's show yesterday, as a matter of fact. So we're just doing great things, aren't we, getting around?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what it's all about. There's a huge gathering taking place right now that cannot be stopped. And any person who is hearing the calling and acting on it and listening to it and doing something about it is absolutely so empowered and making a difference just by their thought pattern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just feeding into that wonderful collective consciousness that will be preventing World War III from happening because of the consciousness level is rising so quickly. And I just know that it's going to burn itself out by its own weight. So, before I digress too much about that global issue, I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about how did you realize, Pamela, that you could see auras?
That's a really good question, actually. And people ask me if I've been able to do this my whole life, and the answer is no, not that I was aware of.
Mm-hmm.
About 24 years ago, I actually went to hear a psychic speak, Michael Bromley, who is a shaman from England. And I walked into the room just curious, just like everyone else, the whole audience that was in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulled me up in front of the audience that night and said, you know, you are psychic. I want you to start doing readings on people. I was like, excuse me? So I basically got thrown in the water, and I found out that I was seeing things about people. I was totally shocked, and it was very detailed information about people. So I started doing psychic work. And over time, I was noticing a familiar pattern with different people. And I met a woman, Barbara Bowers.
Mm-hmm.
Who could see auras, and she started describing what she was seeing around people and what that meant to her, and it fit with what I was picking up with people psychically. And so over time, after I learned her descriptions, I went, oh, that's a yellow. Okay, I get it. That fits with this pattern that I keep seeing. Oh, that's a blue. All right, I understand. So within a year of meeting her and learning all about the aura colors, I developed the ability to see and sense the auras. And over time, working with people for 24 years now, doing psychic work, I've learned even more and more about the different aura colors and what they mean. I've worked with so many thousands of people, and it's amazing the similarities that show up, the common personality traits and the theme that shows up with different people in their lifetime. You know, each of the colors has a different theme to it.
And do you think, Pamela, that a person's aura would change depending on the mood they're in?
Well, the outer bands change. In my experience, now I've met healers who say that they sense the aura changes all the time. In my experience, and again, people like Barbara Bowers and Nancy Tappy, we've had similar experiences where the one or two bands of color. Now, people have lots of different bands that
mm-hmm.
emanate out from them, like a light from a light bulb, and the one or two colors closest to a person's body. Typically, I don't see the life colors changing. those are the colors that reveal their personality, the mission that they have for being on the planet,
mm-hmm.
what they're like in relationship, their careers that they're drawn to and are going to be the most fulfilled in. It's basically the theme that they've chosen to have in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would never limit someone and tell them they can't change their life colors, because I have seen a handful of people do that.
Mm-hmm.
But most people, it's the outer bands in the aura that change all the time, according to what's going on with the person. So if a person all of a sudden becomes angry, a lot of red flares up in their outer bands.
Mm-hmm. Can you see that before they're even showing any obvious signs of anger?
Yes.
That's a good warning system. You could just run, head for the hills.
Oh, well, you know, it's really funny. I have clients come to see me, and sometimes couples will walk in. I had a couple walk in yesterday into my place, and I went, oh, we've been fighting in the car, haven't we? Both of their auras were raging red, and I went,
all right,
what's wrong?
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Can you imagine what it's like in the room when two people are with an attorney getting a divorce, what the auras would
be? Oh, I don't even want to.
But, you know, sometimes they could be peaceful.
Uh-huh, right.
But, you know, it's very, very telling. I did your aura test myself, and I had a lot of fun doing that. It's online. Let me give our listeners your website. That's www.auracolors.com, AuraColors.com. Just go ahead and log on there, and you'll get a picture of this gorgeous lady, Pamela Osley, I'm looking at here. And you'll see all of the wonderful things that she's up to. And you also have your own radio show, correct?
Yes, I do, on Wednesday, specific time, 4 to 5.
Oh, great. I'm going to have to catch that.
Yes,
and that's on AM?
Five. Pardon?
AM or FM?
It's AM. It's 1290 AM. Well, it's simulcast live on the website. You can hear it in Santa Barbara. That's where we broadcast from. But if people go online on my website,
mm-hmm.
they can click on the simulcast and hear it live, and all the shows are archived on my site, too. So.
Wonderful. Now, on your site for the archives, is there a fee, or is it pretty easy to just, you know, click
free.
On there?
It's all free.
That's wonderful.
We're disseminating information. We want to reach as many people as we possibly can.
And that's so important, Pamela. Really, it truly is. And tell me about the spelling of your name, Pamela, P-A-M-A-L-A.
Yeah, that was my mom's idea.
because he knew you were unique.
Well, I guess so. You know, I used to dislike it until I found out numerologically all those A's in my name, because my middle name is Anne. So I guess having that many A's in one name is pretty powerful.
Well, you want to hear something really trippy?
Uh-huh.
I was raised with the name Pamela Anne, even though my name is Kate.
That's very funny. We got the same name. So
the same name, but
it
was P-A-M-E-L-A, and I could have spelled it any way I wanted to because it wasn't really my name, but my grandmother apparently loved the name, so my mom pretended that was my name, and it stuck.
Oh, no, I've never heard that before. How funny is that?
Yeah. So I was raised a Pamela Ann.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, it's really funny when I send in applications or, you know, credit cards, they will spell my name correctly for me. They'll send it back E-L-A, P-A-M-E-L-A, like I didn't know
like
how to spell my name.
Right.
Oh, thank you for catching that. I was
yes.
so stupid.
What would I do without you? I'm blind, but I'm not blind.
Oh, how funny that we had the same name at some point.
No, and when I heard from Wendy over at Boost Media, she said that she gave me your name, and I'm like, wow. That's kind of interesting. I started doing a little bit of research on you and then a lot of research on you, and I just, you know, watched what you have on your website of the shows that you were on, and just find you to be really dynamic. A Yanla show?
Yanla, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I think that everybody should click on that and watch it after the radio show is over, of course. But it's very, very interesting how you would just go to the audience members and talk to them about who they were, and everybody nodded their head yes. Not one person disagreed with you. And they were wearing those different colored T-shirts because I guess before the show, somebody gave them the T-shirt color to wear.
They made them take a test.
Uh-huh.
And so people determined by the test they took which colors they thought they were. So they made them wear that T-shirt color. They thought it would be a better visual for television. So.
Well, I thought that was great. It was a nice touch. It looked like an ocean of Easter eggs.
it did.
And that's when, after I saw the show on your website, I went and I took the test, which is also on your website. And it is a aura test. And Are you able to determine a person's aura over the phone, or
yes,
do you have to be in their presence?
No, no, I can see and sense them. I do a lot of television, a lot of radio, and I do a lot of phone sessions. I have clients all over the world that I've never met, so
that's
yes,
fantastic.
I can. So, for example, if I get a visual of you, what color hair and eyes do you have?
Oh, you didn't see that on...
Yeah, I thought you have dark hair, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
And is that brown? Are those brown eyes or blue?
Brown.
Brown eyes, that's what I thought. Well, hopefully you tested high on the violet and
uh-huh.
the yellow, and then you have a touch of indigo in your outer bands and a touch of blue out there, but I'm sensing that you were born violet with yellow.
Guess what? I'm an 11 under violet, and I am a 5 under yellow,
uh-huh.
and 9 on blue, and indigo is 7.
See?
Green is 6, and sensitive tan is 4, and red overlay is 3.
Uh-huh.
So
right.
you got me right on the money.
Yeah. Well, you have that creative, funny, spunky, stubborn yellow, where yellows like to do a lot of different projects, and they like
mm-hmm.
creative projects, and
yes.
they're free-spirited, and they're big kids at heart,
mm-hmm.
and they don't like being told what to do.
Right. Yep. Very good.
Yep, that's the yellow, and you've definitely got a lot of violet. That's your strongest color.
And tell me about violet.
Violet? So just so people know, these are personality types that go with each one of the aura colors
mm-hmm.
that are in their aura. Violets are the visionaries, the older souls, the charismatic visionaries. They came here to shift the consciousness of the planet. They're performers. They need to reach the masses. Violets love their freedom. A lot of you violets, especially when you're younger, have such dreams and big visions, and you know you guys are different. You don't want to fit into the little box where the 9-to-5 jobs and the safe little paycheck. Violets have to do big projects. They have to reach the masses. They have to have freedom. So I see violets a lot getting drawn to the arts, the creative fields, the media, the entertainment business. They're writers and artists and dancers. Violets love music. They love to travel. They're very affected by music. They're the communicators on the planet. Or they're also drawn to teaching or psychology, anything that helps make a difference and helps improve the quality of life for people. Violets tend to be very global, so they can also get involved in causes like, we need to save those children over there that are dying and starving. We need to do something about this planet.
Mm-hmm.
That's a violet.
Well, let me just tell you. I'll tell you what hats I wear in life, and that's just so far. I'm a progressive talent manager in the entertainment industry with a focus on consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And I am also a life coach, career coach, divinity coach. I have a partner named Alex Sheep who co-created with me quantum hypnotherapy, which brings a person back to their divinity
mm-hmm.
in a 1-2-hour session. I also have this radio show, which is Spiritual Hollywood, using Hollywood to make a difference and raise consciousness. I'm a mom, and I love being a mom, which is why it's so much fun to be a manager, because I have many, many clients, and I feel very strongly on mentoring them. And the reason I am a manager is so that I can make a difference in their lives personally and help them remember who they are,
mm-hmm.
Which is absolutely divinity.
That's it.
So I believe that the violet being a strong 11 for me, I mean, I don't know if that's the highest number you could get, but it's pretty up there.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely a strong violet. And the blue that you've added is, or the blue that's in your aura right now, is so that you can be a wife and a mother. Because violets usually have so many projects they want to do. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I have time to have children. So the fact that you have blue in there.
Mm-hmm, a 9.
There you go.
What are you? Are you a violet?
I am a blue-yellow who has added violet.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
Very nice. Very nice. So I just really had a great time taking this test. And I think it's terrific that you have it available on your website. And I've been reading through your book. It's a thick book with tons of wisdom in it, so I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing, so I've just been skimming through it, and there isn't any page I can open to that I don't get some kind of life-altering insight.
Wow, that's great, life-altering. Well, I wrote this book, my whole goal, like yours, is to really help improve the quality of consciousness here, to really help people get in touch with who they really are, their souls, their divinity. So I wrote this book as a guideline to help people, first of all, really identify and understand themselves and feel validated and give themselves permission to be who they are, because I'm sure you've seen this in your work too. So many people have been suppressed in childhood,
mm-hmm.
told that they can't be who they really are,
mm-hmm.
or they need to fit in society. And so many people are out there wandering around in unfulfilled jobs, unfulfilled relationships, kind of lost, not figuring out who they are. And then they don't create happy relationships because they're not half of a healthy partnership themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it was... one, to help people understand themselves better, and then two, to help us understand others better so we can create healthy relationships with everyone in our lives.
Yes.
But
yes.
Especially with significant others so that we understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
So in the book, I even write about where you can meet a person like that, your favorite love color, the personality type that's mm-hmm. going to be the most harmonious with yours, even though any relationship can work.
Right. Do you think that that similar colors are good combinations, or is it good to mix the colors?
Well, it depends on the color. Like, for example, yellows usually like hanging out with other yellows because they're big kids at heart, and they like to laugh, and they like being playful, and they can usually understand each other because they're all affectionate and big kids. If you get yellows out of power, now I'll explain that. In power means somebody's living their full potential. They're living their highest qualities, the positive qualities of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Out of power means they're not living their highest potential. They're living the downside of that personality type. And so they've got some negative traits or qualities going on, even though I don't like using the word negative. So if you've got two yellows together that are both out of power, then we probably have some problems, because yellows out of power can get into addictions. And they can have alcohol or drug problems. They're not very good with money when they're out of power.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get two yellows together when they're out of power, you can see there's problems.
Mm-hmm.
Two greens together can be interesting. They're both very intelligent, quick, bright, driven, workaholic personalities.
Mm-hmm.
So in power, they can accomplish great things together. Out of power, boy, they can be stubborn and have power issues and struggle, because greens out of power really like being right. So you can see some of the colors when you put them together, they're great, and some of the colors, if they're out of power and you put them together, not so great.
Right. Now, what about two violets getting together?
Two violets together, that is a great question, because usually violets with violets are really inspiring together. Think the Beatles all had violet and yellow. So when you get violets together, they can inspire each other and go, what about this? Yeah, what about this? And as long as they're in power and they're sharing the same vision, they inspire each other, they support each other, they can basically fly together.
Mm-hmm.
It's when violets are out of power, again, that we have competition, power struggles. No, I want to do this vision. No, we have to do this vision. Well, and then they can go opposite directions, which is why so many violets in the entertainment business, they start out really passionate together, and then all of a sudden, one's being the star over here, and the other one's being over the star over here, and then we got problems.
Right, and as a talent manager, there have been couples, not anybody I represent now for everybody who's listening, but there have been couples that I've represented at the same time who were very dynamic personalities, very similar, like they have a lot of the violet traits. And when one was getting more auditions and bookings than the other, it would cause a lot of jealousy and competition.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that, but I didn't know what to call it or what to really do about that. And it did make me take notice in my interview process to find out what the dynamic is when interviewing both people, when I take on couples like that who are actors.
Right. Well, see, that's a reason why it's really great to have this book as a tool, as a guidebook,
mm-hmm.
because when violets are out of power, they do get jealous and competitive, and then it's ego-driven.
Yes.
Because violets like to be the center of attention, and they need the spotlight.
Yes.
When they're in power, however, you guys are such compassionate visionaries. You see the big picture,
mm-hmm.
and it's so much about the greater good for all that you guys have the wisdom of King Solomon. Do you understand? And so then violets go, look, we're all in this together. This is great. And then they're not threatened by other people's success and fulfillment. They cheer it on.
Mm-hmm.
They're inspired by it. So, again, you can see when a violet's in power, you guys are amazing. It's
right.
When any of the colors are out of power, and I do describe that in the book, but that's when we start having problems.
Right. Now, this is a wonderful guidebook for instance, a lot of people out there are looking for a mate, not just any mate, but really someone that they can grow spiritually with. And what I find this book to be very useful for, amongst other things, many other things, is for someone who's just taking their time to get to know people or putting themselves out there in the dating arena for the first time in a very long time, they want to read a book like this, right, so that they can at least... You know, there really is no formula. There's chemistry, and you need the chemistry, of course. But let's say you meet somebody with that chemistry. You start reading this book. You start noticing their personality traits, and you start finding out, is there a compatibility there? And whatever you're finding in the book that you're seeing in that person, you can sort of use this book as a roadmap on how to guide that relationship properly and keep it on course, if that's, of course, what it's meant to be
happening with it.
Right, because we all know, especially you violets, boy, you violets are so charismatic and so full of chemistry.
We're full of a lot of things.
Oh, my gosh. When you get two violets together, the chemistry, people can feel it across the room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, my gosh, and violets are so passionate. But we've all had those times where, yeah, there was chemistry, and then when it comes down to the everyday, yeah, you want to have really good tools to help the everyday and the everyday parts of life, and
mm-hmm.
the personalities really come out and not just depend on the chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that chemistry can get us into trouble.
Yeah.
So we want the chemistry, but you're exactly right. We want to know, okay, if you're a violet and you just got a lot of chemistry with a red, all right, good. Now let me know more about a red. What are they like? What can I write about? What can you expect in a relationship with a red? What's important to them? What are their priorities?
Mm-hmm.
So that people aren't just caught off guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they understand what this person is. So then they can talk the language.
Mm-hmm.
They can understand each other instead of all the misunderstandings that happen and go, now, wait a second, that's not what you were like when I met you, and how come all of a sudden you're showing this side of you?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, if you had understood about red, you would have seen that this is their personality type.
Right, right. And what I'm seeing too, Pamela, is that your book teaches people how to read auras based on the personality descriptions you have for each color. A person can read that personality description and then see the person and actually see that personality trait and really start noticing what that energy field is that's coming out closest, the bands that are closest to the body.
That's exactly right. And I like to explain to people, we've all had the experience of standing close to somebody and go, ooh, I don't like their energy, and we want to pull
mm-hmm.
away. And other people we just instantly feel like we could be close to and we're not threatened by.
Mm-hmm.
They're feeling their energy field or their aura. So, yes, once a person, I do give signs, I do give hints in the book. If a person's doing this, talking this way, they've got this kind of career, there's a good chance you've got a particular aura color on your hands. I have one client, she won't date someone until they take the test.
Ah.
All right, let's see if we can find another way to do that. So just mm-hmm. in case you can't get someone to take the test and you can't see their aura, these are specific hints of how you can identify the person, even if you're getting to know somebody online. You can
mm-hmm.
ask specific questions, and based on their answers, you go, oh, they're a tan. Oh, they're a green. Okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a meeting with somebody the night before last, and it was a gentleman, a very attractive gentleman. And he mentioned to me, he said, well, are you dating? And I said, no, not particularly. I'm not really focused on that. I'm focused on, you know, making a difference in the world. And if that attracts a mate to me, then fine. But right now, I don't want the distraction. I don't really need the distraction. Do I like the company? Well, I guess that would be okay, but I really like my own company right now. I've taken a long time to get to know myself, and my relationship with me is improving every day. And I like that right now where I'm at. And he said to me, I said, and besides that, I understand that I could be a little intimidating to people sometimes. And he said, well, may I expound on that? And I said, please do. And he said that I have a strength about me that puts people off. For instance, when I first met him for the very first time, I stick my hand out and shake hands and introduce myself warmly with a smile. But he thought I should have hugged him. And I'm like, I don't know you. And he said, that's my point. And I said, but that doesn't mean I'm a cold person because I don't hug somebody I don't know. It's just I have a strength about me, and it's all business until I decide that it's not. And that was the thing he was referring to. So I thanked him for that because he is a man, and he did ask me that question, and I did want to know the answer from somebody. And then I took that information he gave me, and I asked myself this question, Pamela, which was using what he said as a metaphor for the work I'm doing, which is to help improve the world,
mm-hmm.
to raise consciousness in the world, to make a difference in the world just as fast as I can, and as well as I can, and just use myself up completely in this lifetime doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered to myself, if I appear to someone who just met me as not being overly warm, then I'm wondering if there's something in my personality that is keeping me from appearing approachable to the world. And with the message that I have to give the world, that would not be a very good combination.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, how would a person warm up their auras so that they can be more approachable globally, so people will want to know what they have to say? Do you follow what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. Well, first of all, Kate, you're absolutely talking like a violet. a lot of violent women especially can be intimidating, especially to the opposite sex. You guys are fascinating, you're charismatic, but a lot of people are overwhelmed by the power and intensity and huge aura of a violet, which is also what can appeal to people because it makes violets famous. Most of you violets have huge auras. You have the same aura colors as Oprah and Cher and Beyonce, you understand? So violets can be very powerful. Now, you're also talking that in the business that you're in a coming across powerful, you also tend to be in a man's world or competing with a man. So the fact that you shake hands with someone, you're showing your professionalism, because that's how we've been raised to think. You know, say if you're going to be in an important professional world, you need to act professional.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's probably why you shook hands as opposed to hugging. Now, usually I hear yellows are the ones that like to hug.
Right.
Yellows like to hug. So
yes, the person must have been a yellow.
That's exactly what I'm going to say. See, that's one of the traits. Yellows are great huggers. Matter of fact, if you've ever been hugged by a yellow, you know you've been hugged.
Yes.
Greens usually shake hands, but greens are the business people. Greens are... Donald Trump's a green. Bill Gates is a green violet. You understand, they're very, it's much about business and banking and real estate and stock market and, you know, it's something that makes a lot of money. So greens tend to shake hands. So, but there are a lot of them are in the business world. So a lot of people have been raised that if you're going to be taken seriously in the business world, you need to act like a green.
Yeah.
You need to be professional. So the thing is people are really fascinated by violets. So when you feel safe that you don't have to just earn people's respect by coming across as a green and a powerful violet that way. People adore violets. It's like, oh, I can't get close enough to a violet. So when violets feel safe just being a pure violet and they're radiating that energy, people want to be near that energy. So it's not like you need to change who you are. Awareness really helps. Like, am I, you know, what kind of, matter of fact, this is a good point, Kate. When you meet someone, if you can identify, like, am I talking with a blue-yellow? Am I talking with a green? Am I talking to a violet?
Right.
Then when I see clients coming in and I know I've got a green, I know I shake hands with them.
Mm.
When a blue-yellow walks in the room, I want to hug them. So once you identify people's aura colors, you know what they need, you know what they're safe with. So it has to do with your awareness, your intuition. And again, if you were on business, you know, you were in business mode, you're going to act like a business person, which is a green.
Yeah, it was Sunday, but I was still in business mode because I didn't know this person, and we were talking business. So
that's right. Now, so, see, you in this place, when you've been on the radio with me, I totally feel comfortable with you.
Wonderful.
I feel you're violet. I feel inspired by violets. I respect violets. I'm, like, awestruck by violets. So you put me at ease right away.
Wonderful. Well, right back at you. And I did happen to say in this meeting after this person I was talking to was so candid with me, which I appreciated so much, I said, I was a single mom but running a business in Hollywood as a woman, not just as a woman, but as a woman who looks a certain way, who looks, you know, I call myself Snow White with an edge, because I do look very, very feminine. However, I have a strength about me, and I also have a world title in arm wrestling, which I don't wear all the time, the belt, but I do know it within myself that I have a strength, and that comes across as well. And rather than try to downplay that or modify that, I would rather add more warmth to me than to remove any part of my strength. So I really appreciate this conversation because that's sort of been lingering with me a bit, and I thought it would be a good topic for us.
Right. Well, you can see how, again, you've had to be in the business world and come across as respectful. And the way I like to describe it is blues are the moms. Blues are the loving, nurturing, right, the caretakers.
Mm-hmm.
Greens is a male energy. Blue is very female energy. Green is very male energy, the aggressive, the assertive, the business. That let's get business done. Come on, 1, 2, 10, let's go. Come on, come on, come on. You want to finish that before you almost can't talk fast enough for a green. They get impatient.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a male energy, whether it's if it's in a female or if it's in a male.
Mm-hmm.
Now, violet is a very female energy, but it's the goddess female. It's Diana. Do you understand the goddess Diana, the hunter? Very powerful, visionary, inner strength, inner vision, inner knowing. It's still a female energy, but it's a powerful female, not the Mother Mary. Mother Mary's a blue.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
the, I don't know which goddess is the blue, but, you know, the caretaker, the loving. And yellows are the little kids.
Mother Teresa was a blue.
Right.
Yes.
And yellows are little kids.
Mm-hmm.
So they like playful and touching and hugging when they're in power.
You know, this is your book is definitely already, just as my being with it for a short time, already I can tell it's going to improve our quantum hypnotherapy practice because we work with little children. And you're right. And when you said that, it triggered a thought in me. We just treated a 10-year-old who was complete indigo, very, very bright child, very intuitive, and very playful. And when we treat children, I'm now going to ask myself what colors they are for their personality, for the approach that we use. What we do is Alex will put them under deep hypnosis, and I go in and do the divinity coaching and the life coaching while they're in deep hypnosis. And using the auras can only improve what we're doing by figuring out the personality beforehand, because probably 99% of my work in that process is intuitive.
That's exactly right. I'm so glad to hear you say that. I used to work with children in the school system, and I so wish that everybody knew about the different personality types with the aura colors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've got the Myers-Briggs testing, which correlates to this. I've had a lot of therapists call up and go, you know, I use the Myers-Briggs, and your system is very close to this. It's exactly like it. It's just easier to remember. But, like, for example, if someone is a tan,
mm-hmm.
Especially tan children, they're much more withdrawn and reserved and quiet, and you don't want to go, all right, now tell me about your feelings, because tans don't like talking about their feelings.
Right.
They're much more in their heads and much more, and even tan adults, they don't want you busting in there and saying, all right, I need you to open up emotionally. Some colors,
mm-hmm.
violets will open up, blues will open up, tans much more reserved, practical, logical, analytical. And
mm-hmm.
some of your listeners out there are married to tans,
mm-hmm.
or they have tan boyfriends, or they're just very much like, no, logic, I'm not sure I believe in this stuff unless there's scientific proof for this,
mm-hmm.
and I don't like change, and I like a secure paycheck, and I like a job that I know is going to be there for the rest of my life because I want retirement from this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, you need to talk to them and respect that that's how they see life.
And they're probably drawn to the free-spirited type because that's what they lack in themselves, correct?
They can be. Some tans, when they see the free-spirited kind, like a lot of tans with violets, they go, oh, please, 150? How are you going to get to 50? That's so unrealistic. You can't save the planet. Do you understand how the planet's falling apart and there's not much you can do about it and it's bigger than you? And violets go, no, don't clip my wings. I have these dreams. Don't tell me I can't do that.
Well, you know what I say is I've got my work cut out for me. Let's get to it.
That's right. See, that's a violet. But tans on the positive.
Okay, if the caller would like to call back again, whoever that was waiting for us to speak to them, please feel free to call back. We apologize. We did not know you were there.
So and you would
funny.
Think with all these psychics on the air, we would know when there was a caller there.
You think? Well, I sensed the presence, but I wasn't sure, you know, if it was just global or what.
Uh-huh.
But if you would like to call back, please do, and we apologize very much. We really would like to know what you had on your mind and to give you our time. So we'll just keep talking until you come back. If you do, and we would like to welcome anyone else to call that would like to, and we promise we'll pay more attention this time. But we're just so engrossed in what we're talking about. So, where were we?
So you can see how the different aura colors have a different way of perceiving life and a different way of processing.
Uh-huh.
So if a tan is going to work in a relationship with a violet, because violets, again, these big dreamers, big passion, big missions to do,
mm-hmm.
and tans are much more rational, practical. So if it's going to work, then the tan needs to provide a stable platform and make a good, decent living so the violet can do these grand projects. So that's how they can work it out.
That's great.
Yeah, and so once people understand the children even, you know, there are sensitive little lavenders and sensitive little crystals. And, you know, some of those colors you can't open up. You've got to be very gentle with them. And then we've got the robust, dynamic, powerful, strong-willed, aggressive reds. You know,
mm-hmm.
even a red partner. Reds are so much about their physical bodies.
Yes, we have a caller now, Pamela.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello.
Hi, Kate. Hi, Pamela.
Hello. What's your name?
Kim.
Kim?
Yeah, Kim.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, Kim. Do you have a question?
Yeah. I was surfing the internet and found a site on auras. And I asked my son, who's 7, and he's sensitive, and if he saw them, and I asked him what he saw, and he said, well, he saw mostly gold colors around me and mostly black around my husband. That's probably pretty accurate. And then I asked him, well, what color are you, honey? And he said, mostly brown, mostly gray. And so I guess what I'd want is maybe some advice on how I could change his browns and grays without actually changing his world, which I can't. I'm not in a position to do.
Right.
Obviously, my husband's very depressed and very sick right now.
Uh-huh. Well, one of the things I'm hearing to tell you is talk to your son's soul telepathically.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you can talk to him out loud and say, you know, but you have to believe this, because if he doesn't feel safe there, if he feels like everybody's unhappy and it's not, you know, it's not a happy world, then his aura, his colors will stay dull and dim and like, oh my gosh, a little hopeless or worried, where are the adults? Why don't they have answers? So first of all, if you can be more empowered and not feel, because I feel like part of this is he's seen that you don't know how to change your husband and you don't know how to fix things, so there's a little bit of a frustration there.
Yeah.
If you can be optimistic and talk to him in a way of, you know what, honey, there's always a higher purpose for everything, and we've got to trust that people's souls are working on something, and there might be a higher purpose for what Daddy's working on, and
gotcha.
You and I need to find our own life purpose and get on our path and see how happy and empowered we can be. And then also talk to his soul telepathically and tell him it's okay, remember who you are and why you came, and that you're here to help heal people or to touch souls or to remind people of their spirituality. If you talk on both levels to him, he's probably going to come back into his right aura. But he needs to be around the environment that way too, because I feel like part of him really needs to have quiet time where he can regroup, and another time where he needs to feel like maybe he can make a difference on the planet. Because I feel like he's getting more and more withdrawn, and I don't feel like that's healthy for him. Do you understand that?
Yes, it makes perfect sense.
Okay. And I love that he sees gold around you. He's experiencing different colors around you than I am. I see some blue around you, too, by the way. Blues are very spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
They're very loving. They get very concerned about other people. But I can see the heaviness that's around you. And the gold that he's seen, I feel like it might be that spiritual, but also the healer part of you, that you could actually heal even just telepathically, other, you know, your son especially.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like your husband knows how to change, by the way.
Right, yeah. He's definitely on his way out.
Yeah, I can see that. And
yeah.
He doesn't know how to change. So what I'm hearing to say to you is be as loving as you can. And I keep wanting to say, take it to a higher spiritual. Don't just do the everyday, mundane, human, mental, logical experience, but take it to a higher spiritual thing and go, you know what? There's a reason why all of this is happening, and let's see if we can figure that out. And if you can talk to your son that way, because I do feel like he's an older soul. He's sensitive, but he does feel like an older soul to me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can talk to him on that level, you guys can start problem solving. Take it to a spiritual level.
Great.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a pretty special kid, and he doesn't feel like he's like a lot of other kids around him, so you're going to need to talk to him like a spiritual being and more evolved, but give him tools so that he can also be on this planet.
Right.
Okay?
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in.
Yes, I really appreciate it. Have a blessed evening.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was great advice.
Well, Kate, if you had something to say, please do. Once I hear something, it just pours out of me. That's a typical Violet thing.
Oh, no,
to do.
No. That's just, no, I understand completely. I channel what comes into me as well, just the same way. I don't ever hold it back, and nor do I ask anyone else to. I mean, I can recognize spirit when I hear it.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, if you had anything to say, please.
Yeah. No, you were right on the money.
Oh, good. Okay.
A lot of times when we're having a difficult relationship with someone who is a 10, mm-hmm. let's say, who's very reserved with their feelings and just very closed or even depressed,
mm-hmm.
She could even speak to her husband on a soul telepathic level.
Totally agree with you.
From her soul to his soul. Just by meditation and help to lift that darkness off of him, but and hopefully she's still listening and she might try that.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing for
transition on a lighter way with less fear and like, okay, trust your soul's working on something and it's okay, because we know he's going to be much happier on the other side.
Well, yeah, and love transcends death.
There you go.
And you know, to not pull back that love because there's a transition taking place. is probably the most soothing thing that could happen right now in their situation, where she's just pouring it on more. But of course, as humans, we tend to pull back a little bit because we're afraid, because we have fear, because we feel that that loved one is leaving us. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? You know, it then becomes about us more.
Right.
When actually I'm sensing the thing to do in their situation would be for her to really, really allow her soul to speak to his soul where words aren't necessary. And everything is energy, and I just know that that would make a huge difference.
Right, especially when she has a hard time communicating with him anyway, because
truly,
he's not a great communicator.
Mm-hmm. It's probably why he's sick.
He's gotten stuck in this lifetime anyway, and she's been a little disappointed that he's not matched a certain
mm-hmm.
level. So
mm-hmm.
love can come in all forms, even if it's just helping somebody transition on an easy way.
Absolutely, and love always counts.
That's right.
It always counts. So
good.
There's never really any wrong choice when there's love.
There you go.
So that was a great call, and I really, really enjoyed listening to you just, you know, allow spirit to pour through you like that. That
right.
was just fabulous, fabulous.
Isn't it interesting to see how many children, I'm having a lot of clients now bringing their children to me who actually see auras and they sense things. It's like, wow. See, the parents now are not shutting their children down like they did, you know, years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, you don't see that. No, don't talk about that. It's like, so a lot of adults have felt like they weren't guided to be as open spiritually or as intuitive or as psychic or as clairvoyant as they really are. Not that we want to force people. When I write things in the book, I did it as down to earth and common sense and rational as I could. It's not a lot of woo-woo-y. It's not woo-woo-y
no,
stuff.
No, it's wonderful. It's very readable. It's very, for the uninitiated even as well. I mean, it's very, very credible. And it's just, nobody can deny wisdom. And when you hear a universal truth, I don't care if it's coming out of a toddler's mouth and they don't know what they're saying. But if it's a universal truth, you're going to resonate with it.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't matter if an alien comes out of a spaceship and says something to you. If it's a universal truth, you're going to resonate with it. You're not going to care where it comes from. But this book is filled with universal truths that just you know, reach a soul level, go beyond, you know, in the hypnosis, we go into the subconscious. Well, the way your book is written, it gets into the subconscious also. Because I only, you know, glance through these pages out of, you know, having many other things to do, but really wanted to give it my attention. And I retained a good deal of what I saw there. I just
good.
Retained it.
Good.
And I am also, my next stronger color is blue,
mm-hmm.
the maternal nurturer.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have a strong violet and blue is I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a 7 on indigo.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got these colors that are balancing so that my violet doesn't go crazy, and the blue will balance it, and the indigo will balance that. So I know already what these colors stand for because I took your aura test.
Right, and it's an easier way to remember it, don't you think? Because you can visualize the colors than if somebody said, "Well, you're an introvert, Dexter, with the you know some of the I's and the E's and the U's," and it's like, "Well, I don't know what that means."
Well, you know, I just pictured a person who had sight at one time in their life, a new color who had lost their sight would still be able to enjoy what you have to offer in this book.
That's right. And, you know, I love that you said that, Kate. You know, we have been using the language of the aura colors for centuries. If you take a look at it, we've been talking about that somebody is true blue, and I'm feeling blue today, and that totally describes a blue's personality.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got the happy face yellows.
Mm-hmm.
You see those, and I'm, you know, oh, you yellow chicken, you know, whatever. We use that because yellow's out of power, get insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got the red with passion and the red with anger, and we've got the royal violet. You know, the
mm-hmm.
royal violet robes that we've been using, and we've got green money and green with envy. We've been using these terms. I mean, green with envy. Who came up with that? You know, it's because it's an aura color.
Mm-hmm.
And that describes what happens to a person's aura when they're envious. The green shows up.
So the green-eyed monster.
There you go.
The jealousy.
The jealousy. And green's out of power. That's exactly what they're like.
Yeah.
You know, look, and we've got green money. How funny is that?
Everything's right on track. And I love that the aura colors are, because everything being energy and this new consciousness is taking place that can't be stopped, it's just the momentum that won't be stopped, you're so right on target. And the fact that you heard the calling and you're acting on the calling and you're putting your fingerprint out there in the world forevermore, and it will not be ever forgotten, and it will never be lost ever in all time and all space and all future and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really is, I get so excited by that, Pamela, because you've taken such wonderful principles and you've woven them all together to be something that leaves people feeling good. And isn't life all about your frequency and how you feel?
Yes, and it's, again, aimed at helping people find answers for themselves and figure out life. And just for some of those people that are listening, science is documenting the aura. They do know that there's an energy field that's radiating off of all matter, and that actually matter is energy. So even science is discovering, it's like, oh my gosh, there really is an energy field here. So it's not just some strange concept that I've invented. It's like, no, there are a lot of people, a lot of healers that sense the energy field, that work with it when they heal people, a lot of people that see the aura, but most of us can at least feel it. Most of us can be around somebody and go, oh, I like this person, or no, I don't want to be close to them.
Mm-hmm.
So we've all been sensing this aura. So thank you for validating that this book really was written as a tool to help people find their way and understand themselves and other people and their relationships and their spouses and their children and their partners to be what they're really looking for.
Yes, and another wonderful aspect about the book, Pamela, and your intentions behind the book, really, I believe every book is just a manifestation of the author's intentions, and your intentions are just beautiful. Another thing that I get from this book is that it's designed to help train people to trust themselves again.
Yes.
And to learn, you know, how to re-tap into their intuition. Because, you know, I told my partner, and he tells people too, but it's a wonderful way to describe what intuition is. It's like when we pray, that's us talking to God, but when we hear our intuition, that's God talking to us.
That's right. That's what I say too.
Yes, and it's so true. And when you remember that, then you start trusting yourself. And it's like one of my heart's desires is to create a global ministry called Epiphany, where people can come to learn to trust themselves again.
Fun.
Because can you imagine a world where we all trusted ourselves and where we all trusted our intuition, where we were all that present, that we could tell the difference between static and pure intuition and act on what's pure and authentic?
That's right. And then when we learn to trust ourselves, then we know that we can trust others.
Absolutely. And when we learn to love ourselves, we can love others and let others love us.
Right.
So for the entertainers that I represent and the entertainment industry and the Hollywood, if there are people listening right now who have a secret fear of letting people love you, then know this. Until you learn to love yourself, you're not going to let the world love you. And unless you're willing to do that, you will not reach the heights that you wish to reach. You just can't.
Okay, that's a great point, Kate. And you know what? In my book, too, I do have a whole chapter dedicated to helping people identify the beliefs that may be keeping them from love and the beliefs that may be frightening them from experiencing a really healthy, loving relationship with anybody around them. So I help them see some of the beliefs that might be in their way and then give tools on how they can shift those beliefs to something that's healthier, more positive, and that can actually attract really healthy, loving relationships into their lives.
Yes, and what you just said brings to mind that we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are.
That's right.
So the way we're seeing other people is a very big clue as to what's going on inside of our psyche.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're finding things we don't like in people all over the place, it's because we haven't dealt with that within ourselves.
That's right.
So there's roadmaps everywhere, and to have that also in your book as an added bonus is just fabulous. And I want to ask you at this time, because we're coming up on the close of the hour, are there any talk shows that you're scheduled to be on that you would like to tell us about?
Oh, my gosh, I have so many of them. If people go to my website at auracolors.com, they are going to be able to see my whole tour schedule.
And it's quite vast. I saw it as well. That's how I knew you would be at the Bodhi Tree on the 19th at 3 p.m., correct?
Right, yes, that would be fun. I am going to be doing a talk at the Bodhi Tree in Los Angeles, and I can tell people they're Aura Colors.
Yes.
I'm going to be talking for a while and then signing books, and we have fun at those talks, and especially when people get to go, I knew I was a yellow, I got it.
That's great. And, you know, I'm sure everybody listening today will be a lot more present to colors and present to personalities and very curious now about their own colors.
Yeah.
And also how their colors might be clashing with a coworker, for instance.
Right, and then what they can do to get along so that people know there is a test, just what you mentioned at the beginning of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So people can take the little questionnaire so they can figure out their own one or two colors.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are ways to identify what other people are. And then once they read the sections, I'm sure just like what you've noticed, it's really easy to identify other colors once you finally meet them. And you read the chapters, you go, oh, my gosh, that person is a green. Or that person's such a blue.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really easy once you read about them.
Yeah, truly. And you just keep it on hand as a roadmap for little brush-ups when you need them. Or you meet somebody fascinating, you go to the book and you read all about it. And it's interesting how true it is.
And it's fun, isn't it?
It's so much fun.
It makes life so colorful and so fun and so interesting instead of like, I don't know who that person is. I can't figure out life. It's like, oh, well, that's easy.
Well, reading this book was like having a beautiful bouquet.
Oh, fun.
And,
I like that.
Yes. And I'm wondering, I want to ask you before we go, what is your stance on people wearing certain colors?
Yeah, I knew that question was coming up. I almost interjected it myself.
Ah, good.
You know, some people are drawn to their aura colors. They wear their aura colors.
Mm-hmm.
And other people are drawn to wearing certain colors because they need that vibration in their life. So, for example, if someone starts really craving red and they want to wear red, it's that they're looking for more excitement and passion and energy in their lives.
Yeah, well, let me read a little bit about red. Reds are physical and sexual, and they love expressing themselves through their sensuality and their physical bodies. And they live their lives in the here and now with zest, strength, courage, and self-confidence.
There you go. So even if somebody's not really a red, they might be a blue, but they just want their life to be more exciting. They may be all of a sudden drawn to be wearing red. And sometimes, or if somebody really needs some calm in their life, it's too chaotic,
mm-hmm.
they might start wearing black or they might start wearing blue just to calm it down. It doesn't mean that they have a blue aura,
right.
necessarily.
It's just using colors to help balance out what's going on.
Right. And in my experience, I've never seen a black aura. Now, the woman's son who sees the black,
mm-hmm.
obviously there's a health problem, and he's seen the health problem.
Right.
I don't usually see black auras. That usually is an absence of color.
Mm-hmm.
I do see that people get faded auras when I know they're about ready to check out.
Right.
That their light kind of goes away.
Right, right. And so he's probably noticing that also.
Exactly.
I just send that family all kinds of love and
yes, we all do.
Kinds of understanding and peacefulness because they're on their journey together because they chose it.
Right,
before
and there's
birth.
Some higher reason, something
yes.
that they can learn from this,
mm-hmm.
or they can suffer with it.
Yes, and that's a choice.
Yes, yes.
It's always.
And we all have compassion. We
yes.
all have compassion.
Totally,
for
totally.
People that are suffering, even though they have chosen it, we just want to help them remember that there's a reason and that they've chosen it and maybe look for the higher spiritual level in it.
Yes, and there's wisdom in everything, and that's what pain is for.
Yes, and we've all suffered.
Oh,
we've all suffered.
Oh yes, oh yes. But it's what you do with it that counts.
That's exactly right.
Then while they still have time, they still have time to get the blessings from it.
Yes.
Just because it's painful and just because it feels like suffering doesn't mean it is not a gift. And when you find the gift, the pain does go away.
Right. And it may come the gifts are realized way after, long after the suffering has passed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when we're not in the throes of suffering, the gifts show up more obvious.
Yes, when you have a chance to calm yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to ask you quickly, Pamela, if there's one burning desire in your heart that you don't even know is there yourself, just allow yourself to let whatever's in there come out as a parting phrase to say to our listeners, whatever's there for you.
Oh, I so wish and invite people to live in love and joy and their divinity and to remember who they are so they can create the dream and the movie of their desires instead of feeling like they're victims or that life is overwhelming them. It's about love and joy and the adventure of life. It's so amazing to be alive. It is such a gift. So I hope that we learn how to really treasure it and find love and joy within it.
Beautifully said. That's wonderful. And I just want to invite everybody to take a deep breath, stand up really straight, and love yourselves and enjoy all your nows. Thank you so very much, Pamela, for being here with me on the show today. What a wonderful time this was. Thank you so much. And thank you, Don Newsom, for allowing us to have this wonderful platform to make a difference in the world in some small way. And thank you for Spiritual Hollywood. Thank you, listeners. And stay tuned for our guest next week. And thanks again, everybody. And thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Kate.
Hey, bye-bye.
Bye.